First Samuel chapter 2. We are reading from verse 2 and reading all the way to verse 10. If we are ready, say amen.
Amen.
All right, once let's go then. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you. But any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gather strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings to show and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's declare the way we intend to be blessed this morning. If you expect the Lord to speak to you, take this declaration with boldness and confidence. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare.
The Lord give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, the Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats. Psalm number 42. Now, if you remember on Tuesday, I said I want to try and finish what I've been talking about. Remember? So I finished it. Amen?
Amen.
Except that I got home. And I remembered some things that have not been said, that had not been said. I said, ha. So, let's come back today and see how it will work. Psalm, did I tell you which Psalm? 42, okay, good. Okay, it's not a long one. It's mainly because of the first verse we want to read this, but let's just take some reading. Let me read the New Living Translation from verse 1. It says, as the deer longs for streams of water, it says, so I long for you, O God. If you read something like New American Standard, you say, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Please notice that. As the deer pants, it longs for the water brooks, my soul longs for you, O God. It said, I thirst for God, that's in verse, New Living again, the living God. Where can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? Now, please, I'm going to stop this one, please, quickly. Yeah, I'll stop reading here. I just changed my mind about something. But notice this first three verses. As a deer longs for the streams of water, that is how my soul is thirsting after you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where shall I come and appear before God? Or when shall I come and appear before God? Now I'm in the midst of troubles, so my tears have been my food day and night. While they, that is my enemies, say to me all day long, where is your God? Please bear that in mind. That is, this man appeared to be in trouble, but that what he is saying in the heart is that I am looking to see the Lord. Now, please, I want to just quickly jump to Psalm 119. I want to bring out the same thing from Psalm 119. Now, I'm just going to pick a few verses from verse 17. I will jump here and there. He said, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that's verse 18 now, that I may behold wonderful things from your law. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Now notice this again. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Now, this is where I was going, verse 23. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Please follow this. You read in from verse 41, and that's chapter 42, when we're reading there. He described the fact that people were mocking him, but he was looking to see the Lord. I hope I get my point. He was not trying to answer the mockers. In the midst of his trouble, is how will I see God? Here, he said, even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. That is, in the midst of my delight, in my trouble, your testimony, verse 24, your testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors. You notice that? Now, for time's sake, especially because I didn't plan to read this, I just remembered that I was reading Psalm 42. That's why I just quickly ran down here and scanned a few of those references. But if you go all through Psalm 119, you will notice that David kept on saying it. He will say, I'm in trouble. This happened to me, but I obey your word. People are plotting against me, but I pay attention to your testimonies. Verse 61, he said, the cause of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. He now said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. If you jump down to 71, he said, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Again, you go through to the end. Occasionally, he inserts it, that I get into trouble, all right? But in the midst of my troubles, what do I look for? I look for your word. I look for what the Lord is saying. And you know what? That's what I want to preach again this morning, but in a different dimension. I've been saying this for a few days now, but I want to take it in a different dimension. If you see that verse 42 we read, it says, as the deer pants, that's the word pants, is intensely craving, all right, for water. That is how my soul is longing after the Lord. The Lord says something when he was talking about John the Baptist. He said, from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God does what? Suffers violence. But the violent, they take it by force. That is, they enter into it forcefully. Please, you see where I'm going. Let me get back to this issue we'll talk about once in a while. Whether one's saved is always saved. Now, I'm not going to talk about whether it's right or wrong, even though we all know the truth, all right? But it's not something I say once in a while. I say, why is that a preoccupation? Imagine me, there's something my wife used to do. She would insist that, I was just coming from work, wash your hand. Now, listen to this. Don't worry, I yap her once in a while because maybe she's eating something very nice and it falls down. She'll not take it and blow it. I say, hey, madam, it has fallen on the rug. So it's still good. I say, hey, if I came back from outside, you insist I wash my hand before I eat anything. Even if I want to, maybe like I enter the house and I see apple on the table, I pick it, I want to eat. Did you wash it? Ah. They washed it before selling it. You know, that kind of attitude. And why can't I just clean it on my... Now imagine now this. You enter the house, you see us arguing for 2 hours on whether eating an apple I took from the table without washing will cause disease or not. Now, do you follow me? You guys have been there for 2 hours arguing on whether you washed your hand after coming from work, whether it can cause disease or not, if you maybe to give you stomach trouble. What are you going to look at and say, Oga, I think washing your hand is a good habit too. Why are we going through all this argument on whether you should wash your hand or not? Yeah, please wash your hand and move on to serious things. Yes. Do you get my point? This is where I'm going with all of this. When people go out of their way to prove, to try to argue, that no matter the sin you commit, you are still saved. To me, it's a sign they are not saved. Do you follow my point? That why will you spend energy on trying to explain that no matter how low you are in your Christianity, it's still okay? Please, I hope you are following where my argument is going. I've said it before. What God expects from us is to go on to higher things. If you want to look at it from that side, or deeper things, if you want to look at it from the other side. A serious believer should not be interested in those arguments. Even if it's true, it doesn't apply to me. That's why you'll be thinking to yourself. That is, me, I want to go on to higher things in God. Like I said the other time, are they not human beings like myself? Christians like myself? Who the Lord said, I can't do anything without discussing my servant Abraham. You think if Abraham was dodgy when the Lord is... See, sinners hide when God is coming. Even if they don't intend to, even if they believe wrong doctrines, the day the holiness of God begins to approach, you will go to the back of the garden and the Lord will have to shout, where are you? You'll be the one say, I heard the sound of your footsteps. That's what sin does to you. Is Abraham not a person who God says that, will I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? You are getting where I'm going now. Is that not what we should be aspiring to? That God comes to man. In fact, they did somebody preach on Samuel. I've not recovered from that preaching. That Samuel used to carry the heart of God. That is, if God is sad, and he used to feel like that, he would transfer the sadness or share the sadness with Samuel. Samuel would not stay up the whole night. And it's like you did something bad to his beloved Lord. It used to pinch Samuel. That is, and we know, because of things like that, that was why Samuel's word did not drop to the ground. See, I don't think it was just an anointing alone. Let me explain something to you. There's a way you walk with God. You actually become a special person to him. Please, I'll preach this message again. You can go and read my summary of it in the tract, Are We All Equal Before God? We are not all equal before God. Let me say this. This pulpit does not make you special. Let's get that one clear. I don't know whether I get my point. No, okay, in this place now, we're not equal before God, but man, at least we all agree. Pastor Banky is number one. That is arrant nonsense. What did I call it? Say it like you believe me. Yes. My friend said that, one of our brothers, because you know what I'm talking about, saying their church does this. They will say they are GO, the general overseer of that denomination. They're using to preach. Say, you people like him now, they have a special seat before God. You know, it's a lie. What did I say? It's a lie. It's a lie. You don't know. It may be his driver that has that seat. It may be the person who cleans that church that where he preaches, that God has given that seat to. It may be.
There's no way of telling. See, this pulpit is just lifted high so that, in fact, the reason why it's this high is that so people at the back can see my head, but most importantly for this place, so that the camera can see me without passing through people's heads. It's not a sign of divine position. It's not. But that divine position, all right, exists. We've been talking about the white stone. Remember the white stone? Hidden manna. All right? That God gives the hidden manna and he gives a white stone with a name on it. Remember we talked about that? That is God confers authority on people. But beyond that, or in another dimension, there's a special relationship people can have with the Lord. So that the Lord actually literally enjoys talking with them. He wants to do something. Let me see what this person is going to say. Have you heard what I'm about to do? Lord, what are you about to do? I'm about to bring my judgment about these people and these people and these people. And I'm going to wipe them out entirely. Ah, that's serious? Why, Lord? Because of this and this and this and that. The fellow remembers that his family members traveled there for holiday. He said, Lord, are you going to kill everybody in that geographical area? The Lord said, why are you asking? Because I have people there. Can you just suspend the judgment? And then we have some missionaries that go to good. And he's not praying. You don't get my point. You know, there's prayer. I've told you for that. Oh, you're not talking to the Lord. You're exercising yourself. If the Lord came to have that kind of conversation with you, is that how you respond to him? You are going to destroy them? Lord, no. You will not answer like that. Brethren, till today, he hosts those kinds of conversations with people. Again, read the other tracks. Old one, but they are there. The same truth is inside there. Daniel. That's the title of the track, Daniel. Please, read it. When the angel came to speak to Daniel, he said, O man of what? High esteem. He told Daniel that he was highly esteemed. That in heaven, when they mention your name, everybody knows that the Lord is involved in this matter personally. And I said, that position is available for everyone to aspire to, that is, to attain to. If it's important to you. I hope you're getting my point. Did that man preach about Samuel? I realized that's why Samuel's word did not fall to the ground. Because he had such a personal, listen to this, personal relationship with the Lord. And that's what Christians should be aspiring to. Not, even if I smoke, you go collect people's wives all over town. Shoot people. Tell lies. Bear false witness. He's the one that's holding me. I'm not the one holding him. Have you heard that kind of doctrine? You heard that kind of doctrine? And you're like, what are you rejoicing over? He says, God is faithful. I said, excuse me. Are you smoking something? Why would, and people be shouting, whoa, whoa. I say, wait. If it were true, you should cover your faces. Lord, I make you do that kind of thing? But I don't know whether you're getting my point. Why do we get excited over nonsense? It's like me gather all my children together. And I'm saying, if you like, do badly in school. If you like, you know, run wild, you're still my child. No, that's not how the Lord talks. All he does is, I bring a cane. If I say 7 o'clock, you're not home by 7, you are grounded. That's the kind, see, the assurance of, no, that's not what he gives. In fact, if I read through scripture, that assurance people are holding on to, he doesn't give it to. What he gives is the threat of what he will do to you. Yes. I said, one day I heard somebody narrating, I think it was Deuteronomy, when God was warning Israel. He said, when I'm done with you, the sight you will see will run you mad. And it was his people he was talking to. When I said, that's Old Testament. What's old about the Testament? That's the attitude of God. It has not changed. Where I'm going is, brethren, there is something to aspire to. When I say we are not all equal before God, it is true. When they say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You know what it means? This is my beloved son whom my heart trusts totally in. If he speaks a thing, I'm the one that has said it to. Now, where I'm going is that was not given to him because he was born of Virgin Mary. No. That was not given to him because he existed before like this. No. It was given to him between the age of 0 and 30. Experiences he had, dealings he had. You know what the Bible says? Obedience he learned through suffering. Those were the things that God looked at. It was a summary. No, let me explain. That declaration is a summary, or was a summary, of dealings he had had with God, God's assessment of him. So God now gave a report card. And this is your graduation certificate. This is my beloved son. You want to hear the truth? It doesn't say to every Christian after you've been a believer for 1 year, 2 years. No. It takes time again to train. So Christians, you understand that they're on a training to get to a point where God says, this is my beloved son. They're on a training to get to a point where God is happy and excited talking to them. The question I'm asking is, how many people are aspiring for that? Is that our aspiration? And that's a major problem. I talked about Daniel. Daniel was special. Listen, he was special. Okay, I was going to say something. Many of us know about the Lord Jesus Christ's life on the earth, don't we? The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 10, Peter was speaking in the house of Cornelius. He said, you've heard of Jesus, and all of us have heard of Jesus. Amen? And you've heard how God anointed him. Same thing Peter was saying. And he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. But you too have heard of Jesus, amen? You know how God anointed him, don't you? And he went around doing good. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And he was healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Good. It was an anointing, amen? Yeah, that's what I said. God anointed him. He didn't know the widow, the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I touch his garment, the point is that his garment had anointing. He touched the garment, there was a discharge of power through it. It was a literal discharge of healing power. It was in his body. It was in his environment. When Peter took it later, the aura around him was so strong. It's an anointing. I hope you're getting my point. You say, where am I going? I'll tell you. That did not raise Lazarus. That's how I was going. It raised the son of the widow of Nain. It raised Jairus' daughter. That did not raise Lazarus. Yeah, I've thought about it. I've studied it. And like they say, I didn't hear it from anybody. I read the scripture. I said, no, this is not raised Lazarus. He healed the blind, opened their eyes, drove out devils. That anointing was everywhere. That was why his disciples, he could give, it's like something he had. He could give it to them, and they were working miracles, even when he wasn't there. That's why even Judas could drive away demons. But in the time of Lazarus, please listen to this very carefully. That was one person his anointing did not raise. What raised Lazarus? Relationship with the Father. It was like he knocked the door of the Father. Dad, Lazarus has died. I need you to send him back. Now, he knew God so much that it didn't matter that Lazarus was rotting. I don't get my point. That his body was decomposing. It didn't matter. He knew the power of God. But where I'm going is that he told them, see, he said, I'm happy for your sake that I was not there so that you can believe. These people have seen all kinds of things. He wanted to show them something different. That when I said to you, I and the Father are one, you need to understand what I mean. I want you to understand the relationship between me and the Father. How do I know this? Did he see anybody he prayed for that I talked to the Father about? No. The tomb of Lazarus, he said this so that they can hear. Normally he would have said it to himself. He said, but I need them to hear. He said, Father, I thank you because what? You have heard me. He said, indeed you hear me always. What does that tell you? I asked about Lazarus. Yes. That's why I said, I thank you, you have heard me. He actually talked to the Father about Lazarus. I don't believe he prayed about the woman with the issue of blood. That was an anointing. He walked into the pool of Siloam. Holy Spirit, let him know. Go and minister to this person. People were hearing him and they were being healed, the Bible says. It was not only that woman that touched his garment. Go and read your Bible well. Many people touched him and were healed. I'm not talking about senseless touching. All right? There are those who were guarding, you know, like, they were guarding him. So in the process, they managed to. But there were those who, they wanted to get healed. They heard the story of that woman. They went and touched. They got healed also. He didn't know them. Now, please don't misunderstand this. He didn't care about them, so to speak. They were just a group of human beings that he was ministering to. But in the case of Lazarus, it wasn't like that. Lazarus was discussed with the Father. You are getting my point. God listened to him when he was. That's why I told them, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. He said, indeed, you hear me always. It's not like it's a new thing. I just need people to hear because of them the kind of relationship we have. That was why the reason of Lazarus was extremely unique. He waited for 4 full days. We're told that it was because the Jews believed that your spirit hung around for 3 days. Now, I don't know whether it's true or not. They just told us like that. So he waited for 4 days so that everybody would know that Lazarus' spirit has gone. The power of the personal relationship he had with the Father. That's what I'm talking about. Now, listen, this does not happen to you because you are born again. When you are born again, they set you on the path toward that. Please, I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
This morning, what I want to do, all right, is to have the fire up, or the desire, yes, for such things. Light up inside your heart. So when somebody is trying to excuse, don't worry, hey, everything is okay, no matter how you are living, you say, see, you don't understand. Everything may be okay that I will not be condemned, no matter how I'm living, which is not true, but let's just assume, okay? However, it won't get me to where I'm going. It will endear me to the Father. You know, this is Nigeria. Will not endear me to the Father. Having excuses, all right, will not endear you to the Father. You know, we were talking yesterday. You're talking about somebody who has a person, and just by the way, it's not our message. Learn it also. Just has a personal habit of always being late, giving people appointments, and not meeting it. In fact, one of the best furniture makers, the guy who made this thing almost 20 years ago, why I stopped talking to him is because of that same thing. Please wait for me. We had work to do. 10 o'clock, I'll be there on Monday. By 11:30, boy, I've been waiting for you since 10. He said, no, I went to Kenyatta. They are doing something for me there. But you told me to be here by 10. Sorry, but you know, there's no regret. It's more of, it's exigent, you know, what they call exigencies. It was necessary, I came here, so you wait. Okay, reschedule. Rescheduled. Which day? Tomorrow. When? What time? Choose the time, please. You choose the time. Tomorrow, okay, 3 o'clock. I said, you know, I don't work there. I just have to go and open the door and wait for you. I get there at 3 o'clock, I wait and wait. 4 o'clock, I call him. I say, boy, you said I should come here by 3. I've been waiting since 3 o'clock. I had to go and see somebody at Okunan. You forgot to say I should wait? No, this one is very urgent. I'm sorry to say, I saw him, of course, after that period, I had to go and look for somebody else to do my work. And I never called him again. I saw maybe 8-9 years later. I'm sorry to say, poorer down last time I saw him. You know a man who hasn't prospered in the street in 8 years, 9 years. You can see it. I don't want to talk about that in details. But we're not talking about it. She just said it's a very, very bad personal habit some people have. Some people say, I'm very busy. I say, see. The current chief medical director of my hospital there, he has never been late for a meeting he called that I'm aware of. Never. If they see me in the office by 8 in the morning, get there by 8:05. He's been waiting for you for 5 minutes. When they called the meeting, they said, we're going to see. I said, who? Eh? Him? I said, I beg, let's go on time. I didn't know there was a new building. I had not been there before. So we targeted, I said, as if it was supposed to be 2 o'clock, 2:00, I'll be there at least 2 minutes before 2. So I got to the wrong office. Yay! I said, oh God. Because to locate the office now, we take at least a few minutes. I said, that will make me late. Oh. So yeah, I was rushing. Finally, I located the conference room. We're supposed to meet him. As soon as I got to that floor, turned towards the conference room, a door opened beside me. It was him. He came out of his office. Ah! He said, Pastor! Two of us walked in there as if, I'm not late. Oh. Don't worry. That's it. And check the time. It was that 2:00. So I thought to myself, so the other people that have been busy all the years, is one way or the other, he's not as busy as they were. No, I said, no. What he does is, he tells you it's 2:00. If people come from Federal Ministry of Health and they are with him in his office, 2:00, he will excuse himself. Please, I give my consultants an appointment. I'll be back. You guys, please pause for me. He will leave. Come and talk to you for 10, 15 minutes. Have his discussion and apologize that, please, this has to be quick. I didn't know this were coming. But that he won't come, I've not seen it in the last 6 years. Yeah. Even when it's a dinner. You say, it's a, normally, well, a dinner by 7:00. Most people, you know, dinner. No, if you tell him 7:00 is inside the hall. I'm telling this to let you know it's doable. After when I was in school those days, there was a fellowship I attended. That one. They said fellowship is 7:30. 7:25. Baba, you know what I'm talking about. That's where you came from. I can tell you, deeper life. They tell you fellowship is 7:30. 7:25. They're all seated waiting for fellowship to start by 7:30. Of course, then I need to tell you that after a while, I joined to sit down by 7:25. We all sit down there waiting for 7:30 to come. But what do you... Now, it's indiscipline. This one we have, is it? We don't know how indisciplined we are. 7:30. That was our fellowship time when I was on campus. I attended them for some time. Just a semester. They are not perfect people. They have their own issues. Everybody, all of us have the other fellowship, which I shall not mention their name because it's a very horrible thing that Christians should do. It doesn't tell you 7:30. At 9:00, wake up. Go and brush your teeth. There's no problem. There's no problem. Get there at 10. They are just starting. And they're like that till today. In case you don't know, I left university in 1991. So the story I'm telling you about them is from 85. 86. They haven't changed. My wife went there one day for a wedding. The time of the wedding, when she got there, that was announced, the pastor had not had a bath. I know. He said, how do you know he hasn't had a bath? Because he didn't get there for like 1.5 hours late. No, he just there alive. The pastor of the church. Please, let me just finish that gist. One man I knew in Lagos, an Anglican reverend. If they tell you his wedding, Lagos, wedding is 8:00. At 8, I saw him do it, so it's not something somebody told somebody. He comes out from the vestry, they call it, right? He holds his Bible or his book. His face is down. And he walks straight to the pulpit. My brethren in the Lord, this morning we have gathered. He doesn't know whether there's a we there. He doesn't know. He does not look up. And he starts the service. This morning we are joining this person and joining that person. Whether they are there or not is their problem. Whether they are there or not is their problem. When it's time to join them, if they are not there, he leaves. And he has a reputation. People, brides climb Okada for him. No, no. He said, hold up, Lagos. He doesn't understand it. I'm coming all the way from Yanakwaja. That's your personal problem. You knew you were coming from Yanakwaja when you told me to come and wait you by 8 o'clock. You should have come the day before. No, that's what he... And you know what? You couldn't vex. You know why? He was 80 years old. So, you know, you just look at yourself. That's nothing. I'm telling you, you will abandon your wedding when it gets the time to join the two of you and you are not there. He starts whether you are there or you are not there. After all, we don't miss visa appointments, do we? Now, why I went to the time issue, I don't even know. Again, I don't even know how I got there. What I'm talking about that is that, see, let me just see whether I can try and find out what I was talking about it, all right? Is that people, like my mind, I was telling you about, he made up his mind, this is what I want to do. And all the other excuses decided falling out of his way. He ruled over the excuses. Okay, yeah, I don't know what I was trying to say. So, some of the excuses we want to give to God, they don't endear us to him. That's where I was going, yes. He will say, if this thing is important to you, there's a way you'll have lived your life. That's what the Lord is saying. That if it's important to you, there's a way you live your life. Let's talk about sin as an example. People want to resist sin. In the den of sin. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You're a decent young lady. Nobody should touch me in a nightclub. Are you mad? Forget the Yimbo people that now want to make it like no is no. Okay, no is not no. You are in that club, it's already a yes. The point I'm making is that don't go there. No does not start at the point of no. It starts before. There was one young lady I saw, she did a video, beautiful video, because of the content. Talking about it, I said, Jesus, I wish many people would understand this wisdom. She said that if you are not wise, and your name is Joseph, and Mrs. Potiphar is showing you attention, you call it favor. Yeah. She said, you call it favor. She now told the story of her life. Oh, my Father in heaven. She said that she works in a place in Lagos, live far away. She used to spend a lot of money daily commuting to work, not very comfortably. You have to enter a bus. Then, one guy in her office, who was beginning to show some interest in her, happened to be living not too far from where she was living, or at least on the same road. And then, he offered to be bringing her to work and dropping her every day. And she said this was just a few days after she had gotten engaged. So basically, Oga, I'm not interested in you. That's when she said that if you have Joseph and you're not wise, you will say this is favor. Because literally saved her money. Let's not even talk about the comfort. She declined the offer. Said because it's obvious what he wants. And a lot of people, they think they get sense. Young ladies, you think you don't have sense. You're actually very foolish. Yeah. As if, is it by force? Let me enjoy free ride, though. Everything is a seed in the spirit. Okay, that's a wicked seed. You are showing to God, you don't care about another human being. Yeah, because if you cared about him, that is his, you're a love being, like we describe ourselves, love beings of a love father, right? You should know that this man, I will give him unnecessary encouragement, knowing fully well that not only am I planning to disappoint him, I've disappointed him already in my heart, which is deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. You know I'm older than you. What if I say you're a young lady? I'm older than you. I have more experience. I'm a man, no? And those of us that have it, who snatch you from that guy, you think you're joking. You go ride in my car, go to work, come back every day, and I'm talking to you. I'm a preacher. We converse sinners, how much more? The young lady, very smart. She declined the offer. Let me continue suffering my suffering. It's safer for my soul. Yeah, that's what she did. When I saw that video, that's why I said, see, please, again, let me recommend my book, Guided by the Spirit. Again, it's free to download. If you are remote, from here, you're far away from here, download the book from our website, pastor.ng. It is not every time Holy Spirit will shout to you. In fact, it hardly does. 99 times out of 100, it teaches you common spiritual sense. Holy Spirit will just tell you, don't enter that car. It's not good for you. If you know it closes by 4, continue your walk till 4:30. Or leave at 3:55 if you can. When it checks your cubicle. Angela, are you still there? Angela has gone home. Where are you? I left early. And of course, after you've done that for 2 weeks, he gets the point. I'm talking about resisting sin as an example. Look. Was he here yesterday? We're talking about, he said, people want the, okay, no, it was me and you, Pamela, and we're talking about people want the world and they want Christ. And so they are talking to Jesus Christ. Let's see how we can make it work. I'll go to the nightclub. I'll take the drinks, but I'll preach the gospel there. I will wear Jesus on my head like this, our guy. Lawrence. Wear Jesus on our head. So when they know I'm a Christian. When they spike your drink, you will forget you're a Christian. Essentially, don't go there. Go somewhere else. Go to church. Oh God. Church is good. Go to church. Go to church. Go to church. Do you follow my point? You are not missing anything in the party. You are not. There's one of our brothers, the one we're watching in the house. I like his own. They do Christian bedus. Christian. You go praise God. If I want to enter his, what is his name? I like his. Is it Faji? He calls him. You will sing him. And you see, people don't want to sit down. They will dance him, beginning to the end. Go there. They are singing, people are worshiping. They are on their knees. Go there, you will enjoy yourself. At least nobody is smoking Igbo in the air. Do you know, I left my message, but I think this is helping some people. Do you know people who are hooked on drugs today? Never ask for the drugs. They didn't ask. It was just where they were. You know, when you're in a place, some things become normal. If all your friends are smoking, you want to hear the truth? You are smoking. Not you will smoke. Did I say you smoke? What did I say? You're already smoking. Yeah. And once you've inhaled enough, you know, I have a friend, the one I talk about once in a while, he's a very funny human being. He's my classmate. So he said, he went to Canada or Germany, one of those two places. So, he posted for us, say, guys, please, whatever I say, forgive me. I may not be making sense because I've smoked so much Igbo. Why? Just walking on the streets. He didn't hear anything. He said, there's so much, you know, wee-wee in the air. So he told us, please, guys, anything I say around this time, you guys should just forgive me. It's not me that's talking. Yeah. He said, just, okay, I think it was Canada he went to. How about that guy like that? My class was in Canada. He said, Banky, when I come back to Nigeria, I need to come to Enugu. He said, so I can detoxify. He said, the amount of Igbo I've been healed since I got to this place. He said, it's been just in the air. I have classmates who are psychiatrists. So they say that, look, listen, that they will soon get to know. And in fact, the first one who said it, crazy guy normally, but when he said, look, all this one legalizing, he said they will soon wake up. That all their young people will go mad. Yeah, and he's a psychiatrist in the UK. He said they will all soon go mad. Then they will wake up to reality. But the point I'm making is that my guys just joke, say, oh boy, that right now I can't talk sense. That I've smoked too much since I came to this place. And what they call smoking too much, just walking on the road. We're joking about it, but that's how life is. It's not everywhere you go and hang out if you want to serve the Lord. It's not everywhere you go and hang out. What I'm describing this time around there is that drive to be the best that God wants you to be. Let me tell you something about sin. Satan has a lot of sense. Are you getting my point? Plenty of it. He introduces to people small. I'm talking about people say they love who are on drugs. No, what happened to them is that they just hung around the area where Igbo was being smoked too much. Now, one thing about alcohol, even in little quantities, is that it deadens. Now, listen, there's a strength of soul that you have to resist some things. So those drugs, the first thing they do is to deaden it. We call them social inhibition. They reduce it. It's the reason why people want to go and commit crime. They smoke. Because it's hard to see an innocent person who's not attacking you and you shoot him. Or you stab him. But just take small speed. That's Nkurumiri. Yeah. Suddenly, you don't care anymore. You see somebody bleeding, it doesn't move you. The fight that the military is fighting right now in Nigeria against insurgency. If you see, one of the people they catch regularly are those who supply drugs. Yeah, they have to. A lot of those boys can't do what they are doing if you take the drugs away from them. So what it does is reduces social. So what happens is a lot of young people, they don't know. By the time their social inhibition has been reduced slightly, and again, let me just tell you about drug dealers. It's why some countries behead them. They hang them. Because they don't just supply to those who are on drugs. They recruit new users. They do it actively. No, they do. They go around recruiting users. Of course, young people, they like to recruit. So when their inhibition has been dropped slightly, they give them something stronger. Because remember, your normal inhibition has been dropped. And they give them the things free for like a week. The guys are enjoying it. Next time he comes to ask for it, they say, is it because I was giving you for free? You don't know the thing costs money. You don't know it costs money. So the guy doesn't know he's addicted yet. He thinks he's enjoying it. So the small money he has, he gives it. Then the dealer disappears. Then he starts looking for the dealer. At the end of 2 weeks, he's hooked. I'm talking about hooked for the next 10 years. For those who, now listen to what I want to say. I'm not trying to preach religion. It's fact. For those who do encounter Christ, they are hooked for the rest of their lives. Right now, there's no way out. I have a classmate that practices in the U.S. He said there are three things. The only way to kill an addict. Throw him in prison where he can't find it. Find him something else that you think is milder. But he has to get it. Or let him overdose and kill himself. So these are the three ways. Now, this is a practicing physician in the U.S. currently. He said, this is what experience has shown us. He said, these are the only three ways. I saw this man the other day giving his testimony of how he was delivered. But I have so many testimonies. Kayo Depela, I heard him teach, give his own testimony some 30 years ago. This, what is this other man? Something, KG Hamilton, that's his name. His own, he said, one day, he knew his heart was burning, like his heart, physical heart. He had serious, he knew he was going to die because cocaine does that to you also. Can constrict the vessels in your heart that you think you're having a heart attack. Actually, you are having a heart attack. You are. He said that day, he realized that, wow, he was in trouble. So he just said, Jesus, if you are real. He was brought up a Muslim. People have preached to him. He has been to church and all of that. He said, Jesus, if you are real, the way they say you are, please help me. He said, normally he couldn't sleep. This one, he said he fell asleep. He slept for hours. After that prayer, he slept for hours, slept for a very long time. When he woke up, he was clean of drugs. Before, he used to take heroin and cocaine, all of them mixed together. So when he woke up, the desire for drugs disappeared from him. When we say Jesus is the one that delivers, no be joke. Without this one, you hear celebrities, they spend thousands, tens of thousands of dollars, go for rehab. It lasts for like a few months. So. Then they get de-rehabbed. What's the opposite of rehab? They get rehabbed. They get the... You get what I'm saying? They get rehabbed again. Okay. It doesn't work. Brethren, it does not work. When they say... No, this, there's a song that we used to sing. Only Jesus can say hallelujah. Only Jesus can say... That is not a joke. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Jesus saves. When it comes to drug addiction, he's the one that saves. Every other method fails. I've heard stories like that again and again. It's Jesus that delivers people. And they just come to... This one, this guy's own. No, but he said that time, he was desperation. Just say, Jesus, please. If you are real, please, help me. Instantly, he fell asleep. You know, I went into that trying to explain something. That don't even expose yourself to those temptations. Don't try and mix the world. I feel like saying this to some young people. You are not missing anything. What did I say? You're not missing anything. You're not missing anything. The excitement is in Christ. It is. You know, some of us who the Lord has held for a long time, filled us with the joy of the Holy Spirit. We don't know. That's what we are looking for with drugs. I don't know whether I get my point. The joy that you have, people are chasing it with drugs. So like when somebody said years ago, he said, get high on the Most High. We like when we're in school, you know, people talk about high. He said, get high on the Most High. The Lord Most High is where you get most high. I hope I said it well.
Yes, sir.
You want to get high, you go to the Lord Most High, that is where you get most high. Let me tell you how high people get in the presence of the Lord. They won't eat seafood for 40 days, yet they are satisfied. There will be no water for 40 days, they are satisfied. And they don't come out looking haggard. You know, usually, you know, when you see drug addicts, what happens to them is that they are haggard. You know why they are haggard? Let me just tell you. It's not rocket science. First, they don't eat. Because the intensity of the desire for the drugs is too much. Any little money they give them, they have to buy drugs. Number two, when you buy the drugs, it takes away your appetite. Even cigarette does that. Ordinary cigarette does that. So it does that to people. They don't, no appetite. Then secondly, no money to buy the food. Then they stop, it makes you stop caring for yourself. All right? You don't shave, you don't have a bath, you don't change your clothes. Yeah. So fellow starts losing weight. It's one of the major ways people catch diseases. Whether it's HIV, whether it's tuberculosis, all kinds of diseases. It's one major way, drug addiction. To be a drug addict is a useless life. Please, if you see a drug addict, just preach Christ. Don't advise. Advice is a waste of time. Please, oh, this don't do it. Oh, it's not good for you. He knows. He too, he knows. There's nothing. You see? He knows it's not good for him. He knows. Even he knows. The biggest drug addicts in the world, they know. The drug now owns them. So stop advising people. Hey, don't take that. It's not good for you. He looks at you and says, you think I don't know? You think I don't know? I know, but there's nothing I can do. So preach Christ. That's what I'm going to say. That's the way of deliverance. So, that's why they become haggard. So, when you get high on cheap things, you become haggard. Your life goes down. But when you get high on the most high, oh my Father, you come out of that place. The Bible says that the face of Moses was shining, was radiant. The Bible says they looked to him and they were radiant. And their faces were no longer ashamed. When you are high on the most high, the diseases leave your body. Yeah, they leave. Diseases. They leave your body. The other one brings diseases. It brings nutritional deficiencies, brings skin problems. Oh, one of the causes of kidney damage is heroin. I mean, I teach that to students. Should I give you big English today so that you learn something? It causes focal segmental glomerulosclerosis. Forget I said that. Yeah, and that's a kind of the kidney disease that's not curable. Fries the kidney, that's it, it's dead. But when you get high on the most high, it dissolves every lesion in the kidneys. It makes you finer than when you started. And guess what? It doesn't collect money. It's not the dealer that you have to look for and sell goods and hell, like, no. If anything, he gives you life. Yeah. So I don't, you know, sometimes when people say, oh God, Satan is very terrible. It's very, very terrible. He deceives people. One man, they said, it was an American basketball star or any sports figure anyway. He had a reputation, very common day like that. So among those big guys, his reputation was sleeping around. This guy that almost went to jail that time, Kobe Bryant, that was the same thing. You check into a hotel for a meeting. That he's sleeping with the receptionist. That one now went and told police that he raped her. You know what saved his life? They told the girl, say, sure you are ready for war. That they will take your whole life and put it on the stand. And that day they tested the girl. She has slept with two men that day. So how do we now want to do you now to put you on the stand? And she reason to, of course, let me not talk more about it. Okay, anyway, they do that. So this guy had the reputation that he has slept with 4,000 women. His statement that was credited to him that I'm telling you about, at the end of his, I don't know whether it's alive, but at the end of everything, you know what he said? He said he has found out that it's better to sleep with one woman 4,000 times. That would have been a better deal. Not the pastor. He was talking from what? Experience. That this thing, guys, let me tell you, is vanity upon vanities. All is vanity. He said, I was chasing after wind. That's what he said. He said, guys, listen. Sorry, what I want to say is a bit vulgar. Get a woman, enter a covenant, and sleep with her 4,000 times. He said, you will find more food. Now, it wasn't a past, it wasn't sin because he was born again. He was just talking about life. When we're young, have you ever heard the word French kiss before? Everybody has heard about from Elder John. John has never heard that expression. Yeah. Where will John hear that from? Anyway, so when we were young, the French were known for such things, and they used to produce a lot of lewdness and stuff. Do you know, even them, they have a saying that it is better. How did they say they go? It's something like that, what that man said. I forgot it. Eh? Okay, yeah, he said, love many women, you've loved none at all. Say, love one woman and you have loved them all. It's a French saying, a French proverb. Say, love many women, you've loved none at all. Say, love one woman and you have loved them all. Even Solomon, you know, people don't understand. Solomon was a very, that guy was not a good person. Some of you don't know. He was not normal. If I have, I don't want to waste my time this morning. I'll preach Solomon to you. A lot of people start good when they are young. After that, the guy went bonkers. Even him, in his bonkerness. Does that English exist? In a Christmas, he said, this 1,000 women is not, have you noticed? Let me ask whether you two will fail it. How many wives did Solomon have? Okay. Elder John, how many wives did he have? Good. I was waiting for somebody to get it wrong. Thanks for volunteering to get it wrong. All right. You know why many people say it's 300 and 700 concubines? It's unbelievable. So the soul cannot receive it. You know, the last two preachers I heard quoted it wrongly. And when I was younger, I also used to quote it wrongly. I used to say Solomon had 300 wives and 700 concubines. It's the other way around. That bugger had 700 wives. Precious, it's not your fault, though. It's unbelievable. You just look at one man like this, Oga, you get 700 wives. Yet, after everything, he said, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with that one wife of your youth. And he told us why he said so. In that Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he says, vanity. He said, I picked for myself the pleasures of all men, confused men, though, many concubines. After everything, say, guys, it's not worth it. He said, guys, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So that's why we tell people, get high. Say it, get high. Don't waste your time chasing things that are not good. You're not missing anything. Remember the story of that girl we talked about? They wanted to brag on bad things. She said her body count, she has slept with 500 men. Yeah, a young girl, a European girl, of course. Nigerian girls, even if we did it, we would. Social media, lie. She was bragging about it, not trying to say she's liberated, she's not conservative, blah, blah, blah. It's the other girl that answered her. That's why people posted it. That's why people like me got to see it. People were not sharing it. One of that girl answered. And said, Kai, I would have been like you too. Of course, about the same age group and all of that. But they're young ladies, maybe in their 20s. So I would have been like you too. Ah, he said, but there's only one problem. There's something my father used to tell me. What was that thing again? Oh, I remember now. Maybe I love you. Said my father used to tell me. So I wasn't looking for love everywhere. Do you get it?
Yes, sir.
So I've been like you, but my father used to say to me, I love you. He said, so I don't have time pursuing. Where I'm going is that young girl was pursuing something she did not have. Yeah, that's what she, and you know, so at the end of the day, let me tell you one of the problems, just small aside, reason why God punishes people and sends them to hell, lake of fire, you just want, I'm telling you, it's one reason. When he offers them help and their pride will not allow them to collect it. You know, most people, somebody like that girl, why is she coming on social media to say it? Because deep inside it's a female thing especially. She knows this is bad. This is wrong. So daily, it's feeling bad. So what she keeps doing is trying to feel good about it. That's why. They start trying to feel good about it, which is why, anytime somebody lives outside Nigeria, and is always abusing Nigeria, I always tell them, it's a sign you are not satisfied where you are frustrated. That's all. It's a sign. See, it works 99% of the times. If you see those who are satisfied with themselves, they think they made the right choice, they are happy, they are, everything's working well for them. And they call you, hey, Jonah, Hava, what's going on in Nigeria? That's not good though. Okay now. They are very positive when they are talking. Oh, okay, you guys did that. Oh, that's good. They are very positive. I have a friend like that. That's how he behaves. He likes to yap a lot, but if he sees a good thing, he commends it. If he likes to yap presidents, so he will yap President Bola Tinubu every time. But if the federal government does something that he likes, that's good now. If you hear that, when the Dangote refinery opened, he will start, you see him always boosting things. I said, that's a sign. He's prosperous. He's happy. But those guys who are still struggling, who are angry with taxes, who can't heat their homes in winter, they have to wear Eskimo suits to sleep. They wake up in the morning. Hey, I heard tanker exploded. Things are just exploding down your country. Don't be angry with them. It's a sign that, oh boy, I regret the day I boarded that plane. I have a building Coastal Road to where? Just know that that guy is unhappy. He's unhappy. Yeah, you're just licensing universities anyhow. Yeah, that's what they do. So every day they're trying to justify that I made the right choice. So how do I know I made the right choice? I'll keep on telling Dami he's suffering. And if Dami does acknowledge it, I'm happy. And if he refuses, he's confused. He's burying his head in the sand. That young girl, that was her problem. That young girl that's bragging she's left with 500 men. If you, in secret behind, if you will give her the options, oh girl, let's rewind your life. I'll give you this husband. Then you can sleep with him 10,000 times, I don't care. See, these two children, they'll be yours. Yeah, you'll go to church, not a problem. In fact, you'll go to as a missionary to Asia. You want to know the truth? She will collect it. But then now, she can't see it. There's one guy I know. Once in a while, I say, oh boy, Jesus will forgive you. All this talk you are talking is your conscience does not know how to explain how you have lived your life for 30-something years, 40 years. You know what I'd like to tell that young girl? Stop bragging. Come. Let's preach to you. Tell the Lord you're sorry. After when he started, it was no use. Your mother that taught you this thing. You're frustrated. That's why Jesus did not condemn that woman that was caught in the heart of that adultery. He said, the men are all the adulterers. Leave them. Come, talk to me. Walk with me. I'll give you power. I have to talk to that young woman. I say, okay, come. This is what you need. And if she will just say, yes, she'll be amazed what God will do with her life. Let Joyce Meyer tell you her story. I told the story of one lady. Men started molesting her since she was 5. She became a mother at like 13, 14. She was a prostitute by the time she was like 15, 16. She wasn't a bad person. That's the only life she knew. Her mother was stoned all the time. Her grandmother was the one that took care of her. Her grandmother was the person that told her that this your baby needs money. And without details, she knew what the grandmother was saying. And what was her logic? They've been doing it for free. Let them pay now. That's how she started walking the streets in America. Then the gang said, who's representing you? They beat her into submission. Got her a pimp. Next thing, make a long story short. If they go on there to save her, he tossed her into affliction. What was the affliction? He entered the car of a man who was not normal himself. He got angry with her, pushed her out of his car, closed the door on her cloth, not knowing, and drove off. She was screaming, he couldn't hear, was angry, and dragged her for maybe something like, well, the way Americans describe blocks, dragged her for like 2 or 3 blocks on a road, paved road. Her skin was peeling, everything. When she finally got free, they carried her to hospital and called police. I mean, it was a serious matter. The police still came to take a statement. No, the hospital was trying to help her. When the policeman arrived, oh, there's a local policeman there. He recognized, oh, this prostitute girl, I know her now. I'm sure he has stolen somebody's money. So he didn't take her seriously. You know that kind of thing? Say, oh, a prostitute wants to make a statement. What do you want to make a statement now? Is that instead of the policeman taking her statement, he was flirting with the nurse. The two of them were laughing while she was in pain. It was night. Then she turned. And that's what I'm preaching. That's what I'm preaching. She turned and said, God, these people don't care about me. She doesn't realize she was worthless to everybody. And I said, God, if you can hear me, please help. I would love to tell that young woman that story. He said, next morning, help came. He said, God acted fast. It was during the night. In the morning, he said, one young doctor came. That one was filled apparently. Now, I didn't read it from a Christian magazine, so they didn't put the Christian slant to it, but I knew that's what happened. I read it from BBC. Said, God acted fast. Next morning, one nice spirit-filled, I believe, doctor came, looked at her, and showed her compassion, and gave her a note. When we discharge you, go here. Call this person. Tell her I sent you. That's how she was delivered. By the time she was writing this story, she took a picture with her husband. She was married. Oh, yes. Took one very romantic picture with her husband. I feel like telling that young girl, see, this is why God kills people. This bragging on iniquity. Just come behind, just pull the shirt, say, oh, God, I beg. See, myself, I don't like her. God will say, come. We'll take her like this and push her into blood. When she comes out, you won't recognize her again. In case you don't know, that's Jesus we preach. That is the Jesus we preach. Now, I've left my message, but I hope I spoke by the Spirit of God. Let's get back to the thing I'm saying. So, what am I preaching to people? Brethren, there's a place in life where you'll be like Daniel. That's what I'm saying. And that is what we should pursue. We should be pursuing. Every other thing in life, we're wasting time. I want to make plenty money is a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Even if you find it, you will find that it was a waste of time. Please don't make your life an experiment. Solomon already did that. He said, I got everything. The best houses you are looking for. At the end of the day, I found out it was what? Vanity. It was chasing after the wind. I said the last time, what you should pray to God for? Not God, give me house, give me this. Say, God, give me satisfaction in you. Let me wake up rejoicing. Even if I live in a tiny apartment, Lord, help me to find joy. Let me sleep well. Lord, give me good sleep. That's what you should be praying for. Well, at the end of the day, everything that you think is a blessing, you know what? They come with more headaches than you realize. They come with a lot of headaches. I've seen many videos, people analyzing why it is a bad idea to own a private plane. Yeah, they've explained it that it's such a terrible idea. And you know the way I look at it? I say, for an average rich person, it's a very terrible idea. For most very rich people, it's a very terrible idea. But you talk to some people, they're not even aware they have a private plane. They just fly wherever they are going. anytime they want to go there. There's one guy there, he's his pilot. You know the way you get driver? You can get driver where they fly. How much does it cost to run the plane in a year? He doesn't know. He's so not aware. You know why? Because the good Lord has made it so abundantly available to him. That's resources. That's what Solomon went when he says, like, chasing after the wind. That is, even when it blows on you, it's comforting. If you go after it, you're crazy. What do you need as a believer? Satisfaction in God. That's what we keep saying. And that thing, please, is not theory. Just lead, Lord, please, help me to be satisfied in you. There's a place in life where you'll be like Daniel. There's a place in life where for God to turn your request down, he has to talk to you. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Most people are praying, God doesn't answer. Even though he just says, leave him, she's not serious. Leave him, he's not serious. There are people who will pray. The Lord, Daniel was praying about what God was not planning to do. That, many of us don't know. That was, you know, many of those people, even as late as John the Baptist, their interpretation of God's plan was very limited. John the Baptist knew the Messiah was coming. He knew he was going to introduce the Messiah, but he still thought the Messiah was going to save Israel. Let me tell you the truth. Is this it that I realize? Now, this is a small aside again for Bible students. We read a lot about Israel. Abraham's descendants, Jacob's children, you understand? About the dealings. Let me just tell you, in case you don't know. There were just two things they existed for. Two. Number one, to bring forth the Lord's Christ. And that Christ was for the whole world. They did not know. Even the prophets that prophesied, they did not know. The Christ was for who? Even John that prophesied it. You know John prophesied it. What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God. That does what? Well, he didn't understand it. Even though he prophesied it. Two things existed for. To bring forth the Lord's Messiah and to be custodians of the oracles of God. So that is why you will not read any other scripture apart from the one that their prophets wrote. You're not discriminating. Those are the keepers of the oracles. Please, go and read. The one we're reading in the home is Isaiah. But I've read Jeremiah. Any one of them that you read, they are prophets. There are books in that Bible, like Obadiah. How they spoke about Israel? They spoke about other nations. Jeremiah took them one by one. He'll tell you the word of the Lord about Egypt. Assyria. He take it one by one. He will go by. That's how God has a word for everybody. And the one we read recently that was exciting for me, it was when Isaiah said, there will be, how do you say it again, in Assyria, there will be a highway between Assyria and Egypt. The Lord will be worshipped in those two places. And he said, Israel will be the third. In Christ, the three were joined into one man. Do you get what I'm saying? However, you know, Israel was the one God gave the oracles. To them was committed the oracles of God. What I'm telling this whole story is that Daniel was like that, was also confused a bit. Let's withdraw the word confused. Let's use the word limited in understanding. That sounds more refined. That's a good word. It sounds more refined. He was limited in understanding. So when he was praying for the restoration of Jerusalem. He was praying for the restoration of Judah. He was praying also, by extension, for the restoration of Israel. And guess what? God was not going to do it the way he was praying. That's what I'm telling the story. So for God to tell him, no, Daniel, I can't do that. That's not in the plan. You know what he did? He sent an angel to go and tell him what will happen in the whole world until the end. He says, see, after Babylon, All right? The meat and the patience will come. After the meat and the patience, you are going to see the Greeks. After the Greeks, you will see, you know, nations break up here and there. Then later on, now, I want to add words now, the Romans will show up on the scene. Then the Lord Christ will come. Then he will build the people that you are praying for. That's how it's going to come. So Daniel said, okay, thank you. Say, you, Daniel, just enter into your rest. Then you will be raised up at that time with the saints of God. Daniel said, okay, thank you. God went through all of that to tell a man, I can't do what you're asking for. You're not getting my point. I'm telling you, see, most people, they pray prayer. God just happened to go. So, God does not answer him by Urim or by Tumim or by dreams or by prophets, anything. So, who's praying there? So, slap him. Just, nothing. A man like Moses, the Lord passed a judgment, which is very good for him. He did not know. That's all right. He won't enter that promised land. You will see it, but you won't go in there. So Moses came one day and said, dear Lord, there's something I want to talk to you about. So Lord said, like what? That promised land. Lord said, the answer is no. You know, Moses knew how to catch God. He had caught him many times before. He knows now. I remember the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. God had told him that I won't go with you. He said, leave him, leave him. He just whispered to Joshua and could leave him. Me and him, we know how to handle ourselves. He said, Lord, can we see you? Can we see you? Now proclaim my name. Proclaim, let me hear. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abundant loving kindness, who keeps loving for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. So, okay, Lord, what I was saying, you say we are sinful people. You are a forgiver of sinful people. So you will go with us now. Lord said, oh, I'm going with them. That's how close the Lord, Moses was to the Lord. So Moses was thinking that, all right, no problem. He came a second time. Came a third time. God said, hey, come, smart guy. This is my word. Don't bring up that matter again. Moses said, you serious about that? I'm very, very serious. And not bringing up that matter again. He knew God had declined. Abraham came to the Lord, pray. 50 people, you spare the land. God said, no problem. What if there are 45? No problem. They went on until they got to 20. He said, okay, so Lord, okay. As we don't fight on, you find 10. Now, many of us don't know. He said, Moses should have kept on asking. Abraham should have kept on asking. You know the truth? He did. And the Lord said, no. The Lord just looked and said, Abraham, you serve Shechem. 5 people. For that whole land, it won't work. Let me explain to you why it won't work. There's a focus on revival that these 10 people will represent as hope. That's what I'm just looking out for. I can't go below 10, I'm sorry. So the narrative stops at 10. Not because a man was stupid. Some say he had calculated that you have 10. No. That was where the Lord. Also, Chambers thinks his own is slightly different. He said, the Holy Spirit said, don't go below this. Don't. That's one that I've played out as a drama now. Why am I talking the story, telling the story? The Lord, sorry to say, had to decline him to his face. That's respect. Yeah. Yes, sir. Do you get my point? Yes, sir. For me, that's the kind of thing. Nobody say you just be frustrated. You are banging your head on the wall, asking for what God is not planning to do. And he's not telling you anything. Say, brethren, for 40 days we are going to pray. God, there's the angel. Let him pray for 400 days. I won't say anything. Say, Lord, tell them now. Will they hear? But look at Jeremiah. God came to him and said, Jeremiah, come. If you like, go and wake Moses up. Wake Samuel up. Let them join you on this matter. I will not listen. To me, that's honor. For God to tell you that he has honored you. I hope you're getting my point. What am I saying, brethren? Is that not what we should be looking out for? Is that not what we should be working towards? A lot of Christians are not burning for these things. That's what I'm preaching. They are not. They are content with, praise the Lord. Yesterday, I asked the Lord for a new car and he gave it to me. And God is looking like, see this car you're talking about there? You can't count the number I have. There are too many. It's not a big thing that I gave you one. And we are satisfied. We go to church. I'm sorry to say this. We learned it as children, but I think we should outgrow some of those things. To learn 10 steps on how to collect one thing from God. 10 steps on 1 million naira. If God volunteered to teach me, I said, Lord, I don't want to learn that. Can we have 10 steps on how to see you anytime we want? Do you follow? Can I have 10 steps on how to purge myself of all defilement of flesh and spirit so I can perfect holiness? Can I have 10 steps on how to fulfill my calling? Can I have the steps on how to become exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ? 10 whole steps on 1 million naira. Baba God, leave him. If we want to do 10 steps and we want to count money, let's start with $200 billion. Then we know we are talking 10 steps. What can I say? 1 million naira. Do you understand? Now, so the Christianity day cheap. 10 steps on 1 million naira. Nonsense. How many steps people they take be referring for $20 billion? You are doing 10 steps. And we are there preaching in the church. Praise God. Number one, find the scripture. Hallelujah. Number two, you will praise and praise. You praise him. Number three, you will worship. Worship. You be on your knees, you face the east and say, God in heaven. God in heaven. Number four step, our Father who art in heaven should be on your lips. Step number five, you will pray in tongues. You know why? Because the things you don't know, the Holy Spirit will help you add it. And then the devil will not know what you are saying. We speak in tongues, Satan is confused. As if Satan can do anything about it, even if he understands. He said, then, number eight, you will groan. Everybody said, And God is looking like, all of this for 1 millionaire. The Lord Jesus said, see, I forgot to sow seed. The Lord Jesus said, wait. I didn't even do this one to raise Lazarus from the dead. You are using this effort for money? You know, some things I said to prayers, don't waste your energy, your spiritual energy on them. Even if they work, use them for something serious. Use them to raise the dead. Use them to heal the sick. Use them to preach the word until the word of God burns in fire, like fire in people's heart. Even let us even talk about money. Use them to make everybody around you very wealthy and job creators. I'm using the 10 full steps. Oh boy. At the end of the day, I'll go and buy one used keke. Oh boy, if I use those 10 steps, God has to give me enough money to be dashing people brand new Corollas every week. Yes, that's it. Then I know the 10 steps produce something. But rather than that, come on, let's use the 10 steps to see the face of God. Most importantly. And that's what I'm preaching. They are Christians. Let that be our driver. That this God, I want to know him. Do you understand? Paul said, that's my drive. That I may know him. And look at what he said. And what? The power of his resurrection. Do you know, for me, it's not, look, I'm a trained doctor, right? I have friends who are doctors. I consult doctors. I give my children, when I have malaria, give them anti-malaria. So I'm not saying it's wrong or evil. But I used to wonder. You know what they said to Jesus Christ? If you had been here, Mary and Martha were certain. They said, Lord, if you had been here, I think you should go and meditate on that. That they were like, nobody dies when Jesus is present. And let me tell you the truth, eh? The Lord is waiting for hearts to open. Desire this much. Let me explain. Peter will be going. They will say, he's going to pass here. Lay him down there. So they bring the sick out from the house. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. They quickly come out, put in. Say, he won't have time to stop. He's in a hurry. Say, don't worry. Where is the sun on this side? He's in shadow, go touch him. For me, it's the expectation of the people that bothers me. That they knew. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not just that it happened. It's that people were expecting it. And we have time to be preaching. Even if you are fornicating around town, you are still saved. God is calling for Christians to press into God. That's what we mean. To press into knowing God. To know Him so much that, listen, that His power will be predictably available in their homes. No, you hear some of those testimonies here and there. See, some people now criticize some men of God that, but this person fell sick in his house. I said, see, let me tell you something. If the power shows up once, it means it's available.
Yes, sir.
So our question should be, why is it not constantly available? Not to be looking for excuses to say, yeah, okay, it doesn't work all the time. Hey, we know it doesn't work all the time, but the question is, why? I used to pray like that, too. And look, I said, Jesus, I said, dear Lord, see, my own is that. You came to Peter's house. You didn't tell us about his mother having faith or not.
Yes, sir.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You just took her by the hand. And fever is his spirit. Fever packed and left the door. So sometimes I look, I said, Lord, so, if you are here the way you are supposed to be here, you know this thing cannot go like this. So the question therefore is that, why is he not here the way he's supposed to be? Because he said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. The Father will love him. I and the Father will come and start staying in that house. So Jesus staying in a house, why is Peter's mother-in-law still sick? You know what? There's an answer. I don't have it, but we should be looking for the answer. Because God, if you read your scriptures, He doesn't like to be the drive of His children to be food. He said it clearly. These are Gentiles. That's what they seek after. When Gentiles come to church, they come to sow a seed for more money. Catch what I'm saying. If somebody has a Gentile spirit, if he comes to church, it ends on what? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? That's the Gentile spirit. When Gentiles come to church, their testimony is, praise God, last week I sold 1,000 naira. This week I now have 5 new suits. That's a Gentile. When Jesus multiplied, that is like when he got the draught of fish for Peter, what did he now say to him after? He said, after now, you start fishing for me. The Bible says Peter abandoned everything and followed him. You know what that tells me? Peter suddenly realized that fish is not worth struggling for. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Fish. This is how easy to catch fish. In that case, I'm not doing this job again. Now, some people will think that it means that, you will now be using the principles to catch more fish. No, he has now realized that struggle is not necessary in this life. And fish is not a necessary end to life. Let's follow him. So when Gentiles come to church, it's what shall we eat? What we shall drink? There are times God will just supply you. I told you one brother, he talked to me. I went to preach somewhere. He came to see me after. He says, sir, I won't tell you the name of the, but he said, man, if I mention, most people, if almost everybody here, at least in Enugu, will know the name, but remotely, at least most people will know remotely. Says, in this house I served. The young man is a doctor. I was posted to his house. You know, you post doctors to clinics. NYC will send doctor to local government clinic, government house clinic. This one was sent to a man's house. Your place of primary assignment is somebody's house. Do you catch that? It's a young man that told me that, see, He said, sir, you won't find any of my boss and his friends. He said, you can't find them dead in a Japanese car. He said, if you see a brand new Toyota in that house, the security details are inside. He said, the cheapest car you find them driving is a Bentley. Typically, they move around in Rolls Royces, stuff like that. Now, why I like telling his story, when I saw him, he didn't have anything. He had finished NYC. He said, when he was done, he despised money. He told the Lord he would never pursue it. And he didn't have it. He decided to pursue the anointing in his life. He told me that he's a gifted drummer, that people have given their lives to Christ while he's drumming. He said, sir, I stayed in that house for, you know, service year. And I just realized at the end of the day that money is vanity. That they had so much of it in that house. He left the place, said, no, this thing is not worth the pursuit. Yet he didn't have it. That's what God does to us sometimes. That the most important quest in our lives is what I'm talking about. Now, we read some of those scriptures. Let me just focus on the main thing. First, that's the first thing I wanted to understand, that please, let's drive for serious things. When they give us principles, 10 ways to get this. The Lord came to Solomon. He said, ask for anything. So when they give you 10 keys on how to get something, what are you asking for? What you ask the Lord for matters to him when you are describing your character. Now say to the Lord, what he will do for you between now and next year. You know what most people say? It's always material things. My neighbors will know, say, my God is alive, care. What is it? I'll build a bigger house and insult our landlord and pack out. You know the truth? Many times God grants it. You build a bigger house, you insult your landlord, you pack out, you tell your neighbor to come to your church, come and sow seed the way you did. God will give him his own house. God does that also, maybe for your neighbor. He too sows his dangerous seed. God just said, thank you, see. You know, visionless, earthly minded people. So, Lord, why are you doing it for them? Yeah, let's hope that after now, they will discover the vanity in their prayers. Then they'll start asking for better things. But when the Lord asked Solomon that time, when he was young and had a lot of sense, he didn't remember to ask for wealth. Because now this is how to pray. This is how to pray. And I know because God said, you didn't ask for wealth? Some of us said he had already. No, God said he could. Most people would have asked.
Yes,
sir. Okay. He said the life of your enemies. He could have asked for that. He could have asked for expansion of his kingdom. All he asked for was for wisdom. Okay, let's come back to Christianity. What are you asking God for? There are those who fast and fast for visa. The one that still makes me laugh, people are still fasting and fasting that. So what I want to say is very funny, right? But please, I will preach it. I cannot keep quiet because some people won't like it. When it's time to renew visa for you and your family abroad, you start choking. Because British people will collect how many thousands of pounds per person? Suddenly you need 10,000 pounds. And I'm looking like, and you can have, find 10,000 pounds. God knows me. First, I'm not like to have been in your shoes. Yeah, not out of pride. It's more like there are things I just don't take. You can't make me sweat to stay in your country. You can't. I didn't kill anybody here. They're not looking for me. Do you follow my point? I'm not a fugitive from the law. I give you 10,000 pounds. For what? Sometimes when I went and watch some of these clips of some of these are early morning prayer meetings, but they are testimony. Just before the visa expired, God just brought 10,000 pounds. I just changed the channel. I want a testimony. I'm not saying God didn't do it though. I'm just saying that this is what you want him to do. Please now, with which faith are we going to raise the dead? who've expended it on nonsense things. I said, some of you people that are like that, stop asking God to give you money, board the next plane, and relocate to Umuahia. That's where you left from. Use that same faith to build something great. In that same Umuahia. Use that same faith to be a man, a woman of dignity. The governor will stop by to see your factory. Using faith to get a job where you keep on working like you want to die. Use that same faith. That's the point I'm making. I say, God, what is the seed, the substance inside me? It needs to manifest. Use that faith now, for goodness sake. Use that faith to say, God, I must understand you clearly. You know, I'm a trained doctor, right? I teach medical students. When I see miracles sometimes, I hear testimonies, and God does things, I will stay in my house, you know? I'm like, okay. Like one man I was hearing testimony, he go to the mall, just pray for somebody whose knee is frozen. And instantly the person's knee becomes normal. So I'm checking, let me speak in English. I'm checking the amount of halitosis and sclerosis, how much fibroblasts have been deposited, and how many months it took them to shrink. I checked about the exudates. No, I have all kinds of theory in my head, though. All the growth factors that are released. I said, God, so you just reverse that in 1 minute. So I keep on praying. I say, God, can you just help me see it so clearly that all this other knowledge I have will not obstruct my faith? You know, because you get my point. Because it's easier for me to believe that God will use a process. So I pray to the Lord, God, please, let me know you so much that I will be impatient with that process. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
So, Lord, why are we waiting for 10 days? Are you trying to accomplish anything special? He says, no, and then do it now. We read his theory in the books, right? But I said, God, what's my prayer? I want to know it well so that I'm talking to somebody can expect it. Because, look, if somebody has, like my son came the other day, he wasn't feeling well, came for Bible study. Before we left Bible study, I said, I'm feeling okay now. I said, the malaria parasites have entered back into the red cells. You don't know. They will soon show up tomorrow. And tomorrow, of course, he just came to my room. I don't know how I'm feeling. I know how you are feeling. It's cyclical. Now, where I'm going is that, take this tablet of artemisinin and the combination. I knew he would be well. Of course, I prayed for him. So, now please, I'm not talking about relying on medicine now. I'm talking about, I so know the knowledge of how that thing interrupts the flow of the reproduction of the malaria parasites. That is not surprising to me if the thing doesn't come show up again the next day. I just ask him, did you complete the dosage? Yes. Let me tell you how serious Jesus was in his knowledge of these things. They told him, they were subject to us, even demons. So leave that thing. Don't rejoice in that thing. I saw Satan fall like lightning. Now you, they surprise. It is you, it's exciting. Let me tell you what to rejoice in, that your names are recorded in heaven. Those manifestations did not excite him because he was so knowing of them. This is why you don't know. Yeah, he fully knew. When I just woke up during the night, I said, God, now that kind of thing I define. That dear Lord. And one man preached amazing words, very funny. He said, remember that man that followed Jesus who was blind? Jesus took him out of this village, lay hands on him. So what do you see? He said, I see men as trees. Do you remember? You know what the man said? He said, Jesus touched him. He said, what do you see? There was no doubt. Jesus was calibrating. He said, they released a dose of anointing. He said, let me say, how far did it go? I can see small. Men as trees. Okay, so you need about 15 rad. I'll give you 5 rad. Like. So Jesus now came out again. This time around, delivered the required dosage for full healing. The Bible was trying to tell us that the power of God is real. That those who know it can calibrate it. Brethren, please, let's take a minute. Just pray. Seek Father God that I may know you and the power of his resurrection. No, take a minute and pray. Say, Father, I want to know you and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to know the reality of your power in my life. And add it. And what is required to enter into that realm? And what is required to walk in that realm? So that I will walk to you and say, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Please send him back. So that's the greatest desire of my heart. That's what I'm preaching. That should be the greatest desire. We're so, encumbered, by many things, distracted by earthly pleasures. In Jesus' name we prayed. Let me just say something I've been trying to say. Then I will be done. I've talked about afflictions, right? For some days now. Brethren, please. In this life, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God. All. How many things?
All.
Did they say all good things work together for good? What did they say?
All.
Does it include bad things?
Yes.
Good. Brethren, I want to share something along those lines again, which we've been sharing along. We've talked about the fact that, see, it must never shake your faith, no matter how bad it is. It's not allowed to. When we pass through afflictions, I'm talking about one of the things that God used to qualify people. God chooses people to this level we are discussing. When they have passed through difficulty, passed through affliction, and they held their faith through it, it's a qualifying process. I hope you're getting my point. Let me give you a testimony about my life, something that I noticed. Every affliction I come out of, I learned this long ago. I think they are from different things. Reading books, different teachings, people, different men of God who minister to you over time. Every affliction I come out of. Some people used to vex for God. I know they vex for God, though. Not out of maturity and self-discipline. It's out of fear. I'm stronger than you. I slap you for no reason. Then you're not vexed for me. What do you think I'll do to you? No, I'll kill you for no reason. I will stamp on you. Do you follow my point? And Jesus actually said it. He said, fear him. He said, like they said, don't fear the ones who can kill the flesh. Fear the one who can kill the flesh after that. So, if you kill my flesh, I have to fear lest you add the second side to it. I don't know whether you are getting my point. I listened to one man the other day. I was so blessed. In fact, I didn't note where I got the message from. He said something I've never heard anybody say, apart from me. I've said it many times. He said, let's not soften the meaning of the word fear. He gave the Greek, gave the Hebrew. He said, it simply means to be terrified. He said, people like to soften this thing. He said, no. The fear just simply means to fear. So, when people they are angry with the Lord, I said, over what and how? First, fact, he always does right. There's no way you will be angry with somebody who always does right, who knows what he's doing, and you don't know what he's doing, and you are naturally a wrongdoer. He always does right. He knows what he's doing. He can see what you cannot see. When I was young, they taught me to be confused about as to why he killed Moses over a small transgression. I mean, people build calf, you didn't kill them. Aaron. David kissed somebody. He was singing, against you have I sinned. And he survived. Different of my point. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. And you do a steadfast spirit in me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Anyway. Did Moses kill somebody? No, answer me now. That was it somebody he killed? No. Speak to the rock. He said, Lord, rock no they hear. He beat the rock. Lord, let's do it the way we have always done it. He walked the rock. The annoying part was that the rock listened to Moses and did not even wait for And God now said, well, because you did not honor me and hold me hallow and all of those things before the people, you will not enter the promised land. Please, brethren, let's be honest. If we are honest humanly in our ignorance, we are honest in our ignorance. Was that good? Was it fair? Thank you. It wasn't fair now. It wasn't fair now. How can it be fair? Well, but you know, he knows what he's doing. You just believe it. You don't like it. You don't believe it, but you just believe it. These are things you believe, lest he gets angry. Were it not that I was more powerful, we would have challenged him on this one. But I grew older, and I became a Bible teacher. And as I was studying, then the Holy Spirit helped me understand, Banky, it wasn't anger, it was mercy. Yes, it was mercy. I didn't kill him out of anger. I killed him out of mercy. He was tired. He was exhausted. The people had worn him out. He said, you don't know those people? Stubborn, stiff-necked. He had interceded for them. Sorry, what I want to say is funny, right? You know how Samson's energy finished? In the house of women and harlots. That one of Moses finished interceding for Israelites, solving their problem. That's how it finished. He used so much energy on them. At the slightest sign of weakness, God said, take him out. It wasn't weakness, it wasn't wickedness, it wasn't anger. It was Moses, the normal Moses, does not disobey. The normal Moses, meek, trusting, everything that I tell him he does. I want to kill people, he intercedes. He doesn't get easily provoked. If you look at it, it seemed, it's a seeming thing. God was easier to provoke than Moses. No, check it. God said, I'm going to kill everybody. Moses will jump in the middle. Our Lord now, you know them now. You know, say, small begin, they worry them. They're not, these people, eh? How you tolerate them all this way? I don't know, but you can't kill them today. You know what God said? Moses, move back. He said, no. That is, you want to kill them? Pass through here. That's how humble and patient Moses was. Because if it's me, I said, God, about time. Kill him. He said, Lord, after all this while, your patient said, man, don't understand him. If it's you too, not let me, you are laughing at me now. You are making that all of you. But that's how Moses was. So the first time he got provoked, so God said, he's tired. He's tired. Call him. Say, Moses, time to come home. Enter into your rest. No, as Isaiah said, he said, the righteous perishes and no one takes it to heart. That's what he was saying. The righteous man now is going to die. You want to know the reason why? Because he's tired. Now, listen to my own interpretation. You can disagree with this, but that's what I believe. If God left him there, the next few years, he'll build a calf. See, calves are not built by those who want to worship calves. Go and check it. Aaron didn't want to worship the calf.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They came to him. They made the demand. the mob, the crowd, he could not resist. He said, I threw the gold into the fire. Now listen to this. I closed my eyes, I turned away. I looked next time, it was a calf. How he got there, I don't know. You want to know? The men jumped in and carved it for him. Moses' eyes were closed. Aaron's eyes. But he was held responsible. That's why I said, no, I threw the gold in. I did like this. The expert carvers there, they jumped in. Finished the carve for him. Who carved it? I don't know. Solomon. Those girls wore him out. Hey, Asenath, how are you? Don't touch me. Now, say they take that. Oh, Tall Reverend said something. One of the wisest things I've ever heard him say in his life. Honestly, he has said, you know, he's a sage. Not a sage, is a guru. You understand? Yet, I'm telling the sage, this is one of the wisest things I ever heard him say. He said, if your wife says she should do something, he said, forget it. It's a matter of time, you will do it. If you understand. See. He said, Oga, say now your wife talk out. He said, it's time. Very few truer words have been said in this life. And let me tell you about these women. The smaller they are, the more this thing is. So, you know what he said? Sorry, Olori, I was not supposed to tell you this, but I'm already preaching so you will know. He said, so anytime his wife says something he doesn't want to do, he turns it to fight. He said, Pastor, see, you don't understand. If I don't, I will do it. He said, it's a matter of time. It will be done. So make her afraid to repeat it. But leave it. Some women say, leave her in the demo, and they come back. Can I do a small aside? Let me tell you people, women, eh? That submission thing, eh, is something you do deliberately. The man has not been commanded to subdue. He's been commanded to love. So if you want order, things to be in order, you be deliberate about submission. This kind of thing, say, we are going out. So, your wife, your husband says, so where are we going? Ask him, you haven't decided? Do you want my suggestion? And don't make it a habit of hounding a man until he starts yielding to you, which is what we always do. After I was saying, I don't have time for noise. Once your husband starts saying that, you have failed in that area. Let me tell you what happens. We'll argue and argue and argue. After a while, we get tired of arguing. And I've noticed something, just by the way. Those of you who have employed staff, you know staff that argue. And you are eager to get rid of them. No matter how skilled the person is. This guy argues over everything. Let me not sit there. If I sit there, we won't leave there. Okay? So just know that submission is something you do deliberately. The man will give you the opportunity to lead, reject it. Say, okay, you go in front. It's simple. Doesn't mean you don't have desires. Just say, so where are we going? You don't decide where we are going. Tell him, have you decided? I don't know. Should I bring suggestions? Where we are going? Okay, no, we are going to go here. Turn here. Now, I told him one day, we were walking. My wife said, okay, I see road here. He turned and pulled my hand. I planted my foot. I said, come back. This way. He said, well, I said, no, next time you see the road, tell him, please, excuse me, pause. I think this is shorter. Should we go this way? Then give me 1 second to look. And he said, don't turn that way and drag me. That way, two of us are going to hell. So I don't want us to go. For your sake, I will pull you back. Yeah, that's what happened. Adam, Eve gave the mugu chop. That's why we're... Where we had to I just put my foot down. She felt the resistance. So she looked back. I did like this. Let's go. I said, next time you see a way, tell me to please stop. I will. Say, I think this is shorter. Allow me to say, okay, let's go. We are walking. If I don't lead, I get into trouble. So you have to deliberately say, that's how you help me. Oh boy, lead. Please, lead. Why am I talking about this? That's what happened to, we've gotten of that Solomon. Isn't Solomon, Solomon? See, let me tell you, when the Bible says people worship other gods, most of them did not. Moses did not. Solomon did not. Listen, what did he now do? Okay, I'll tell you. He tolerated. That's the full sin for Solomon. Tolerating the worship of other gods in his domain. In his household. His wives. That to God was a full sin. See what he said to the church? He said, you tolerate that woman called Jezebel. What did Eli do? He didn't disobey God in anything. He tolerated his sons. What am I trying to say? That's what will have happened with Moses. After a while, he'll be in his tent. So they are putting gold inside fire. Say, what came out? Now monkey come out. Say, okay. He said, as they like it now, useless people. They lie down there. They put silver and another fire. What happened? They said, Diana. He said, okay. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. If it's the Moses of the days before, guess the priest, kill anybody that participated in the worship. So God looked at Moses and said, oh boy, is tired. Let him come home. I'm talking about God's goodness. So no matter what you have gone through, don't think he doesn't know what he's doing. God never does bad. He can't. Even when he judges sin, and I need to say this, what he's doing in your life too, is he's purging unrighteousness. That's what he's doing. Even when he judges sin, he's just purging unrighteousness. Okay, many of the things that, let me give another example. When doctors take somebody to the theater, say this, maybe it's diabetic, say this leg is bad, and they cut it from the ankle, you think they hit his foot? They're saving his life. I still remember, I used this story to illustrate it. I was a medical student. I still remember the name of that man. Very nice man. That guy, and we walked around with him, orthopedic surgeon. He was telling us, okay, he has to do this, he has to do this, that this particular patient, he thinks he's going to give him a below knee amputation by this and the show. So the man broke into tears. He said, Doc, please, if you can, please save my leg. Very calmly, he didn't show any emotion. He was teaching us. He said to him, sir, that's what I would have loved to do. But I'm sorry, I can't. The man was crying. The man didn't show any emotions. A few days later, we came back. He had removed the leg from just below the knee. And he was telling us that he's so sorry, the thing didn't work out. So he has to go above the knee. He's giving a mid-thigh amputation. All to save his life. Next time we came, he had gone to the thigh, cut the leg off, middle of the thigh, and said it was not good still. He couldn't even stick the wound. Yeah, he said, I can't stick the wound. So he held the two edges together. They were dressing. He said, let's hope he granulates. Otherwise, I take it off from the hip. I still remember very well. Yet, he was trying to save the man's life. That the gangrene has gone too far. So sometimes when God, I'm telling the story to let you know, sometimes when God does some things, he knows what he's seeing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That is why we always come out with thanksgiving. When he gave us, he said he should kill the people there. God said, I should have left them. You won't be here today. He said, you that's talking now, you wouldn't be here today if I left those people. So, brethren, God is always wise. This is something I want to say. Therefore, every time, this was my experience, I thought I was going to share something about my life. I just looked back when I was thinking about this message. That every time, every single time I've come out of an affliction, I've always come forth with more dedications. God helped me with that long ago. Every single time. The last time that I was really ill, many people here know the story. By the time I finished, because I don't believe in accidents, I don't believe in mistakes in my life, I don't believe the devil. The devil doesn't want to worship and can continue. I don't have his time. I don't have a problem with witches. They are too scared of me. They are afraid. The glory of the Lord is my rear guard, the Bible says. Which means that when you are plotting things I don't know, you are fighting the glory of God. You're not fighting me. You're fighting the glory of God. Be plotting against me when I don't know. That is when your life is most in danger. If you can stir me up to anger, you are safer. When I'm totally blindsided, it's when you're in trouble. Don't have problems with people. So anytime, it's always between me and my God. Somebody jams my car. I'm wondering, God, why did you let this car? What's going on? You want to buy a new one? I know you have money, but you know, that's why I do it. I was down for a few weeks, lost 8 kilograms in 1 month. And God showed his power mightily in helping me. Like I've told the story many times. When I finished, I said, look, so where were we? Wrote some more dedications. I can't be angry with somebody who knows more than me. I can't be angry with somebody who has a plan that I'm not aware of. But that he has a plan, yes. That is a good plan, yes. It's a plan for good and not for evil. You may not know how. You may not know when. That's what faith is. So that is why any time there's affliction, personally, I can tell you this, I've come out of it with dedications. Always, I will serve him better. Always. Always. Some will get angry. I believed you. I said, God, sorry. I told some the other day, God always answers prayers. Always. But he doesn't always do what you say. He's the Lord. He's not the servant. A servant is the one that will always do what you say. Many times, I have experienced it, you will do far better than you ask for. And whether you feel it or not, you want to know the truth? He's doing far better than you asked for. The Lord helped me. I got to a point there. I felt I knew I've learned how to pray. Because I saw dramatic results in things. Then you know, like I was telling you the other time, that you pray, you know that this one, the Lord heard. I know the Lord has heard. Then he does the exact opposite of what you asked him to do. You know, if you had done what you asked for, you'll be there testifying. But God says, have as much confidence and as much joy when I do the exact opposite, because I know what I'm doing. Yes. So that's what I'm telling you today. You want to enter into a place where God looks at you like a special person. Every affliction must be responded to with a harder dedication. Every. Many times, that's actually what he's calling for. Please, can I beg you to stop going to churches where the devil is their problem? Please, let nobody scare you of witches. That's what point I'm making. These people are glorifying witchcraft and all of that. Let them not scare you. Then on the devil say, witches are flying. That's the witch's problem. You, in the midst of your afflictions, face the Lord. Say, Lord, what are you saying? Look, just say, Lord, what are you saying? And always respond with what? Greater levels of dedication. Something terrible happens. Remember the woman who told you about the child died? She took the child in the hand and started singing a song that's now sung all over the world. No, some of us say, after that, you know, the child wake up, they buried the child. That was the end of it. God was worthy to be glorified. Brethren, that's my message for today. Whatever it is. Deeper levels of dedication.
You say to the Lord, see, not even the Lord knows. You tell the so-called devils and everything. Let me just tell you. The more I suffer, the more I serve him. So if your name, you think I'm Job, you know, you're trying to do me like, maybe I will fail the Job test. I passed it long ago before you started. This God, I am not turning back. He can't fail me. It's not a possibility. Let me tell you, even if he's killing me, I will say, thank you. You know what you are doing. You are a good God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that, I said last time, was what impressed God with Abraham. Some of the things that Abraham was ready to give God. I said, no. That's a good thing. Willing to give God anything was good. But what impressed God with Abraham was, Isaac is dying. Your word is still true. You are still faithful. You fulfill your word. You are God. You know what you are doing. God now, stood. By myself, I have sworn. That in blessing, let me tell you about Abraham. Anybody plotted against Abraham, God said, you are plotting against me. And I won't inform Abraham because you know he's a merciful guy. He's going to behave like Moses. I kill you by myself first. And he will come for your funeral, but he will never be aware of that plotting. Let me end with one statement. I want to end because of time. Dare to follow God fully. Please. Reject anything that wants to make, that's like compromise. Dare to follow. See, if you know, I've not promised anybody anything. If you follow you, now become a billionaire. But well, last time, there are people, Bible said they wandered in caves. Say they were men of which this world was not worthy. You know, the richest man in Nigeria is who? No, answer me now. The largest, the singular biggest investment he made is what? $20 billion refinery in Ekpe. Now, let me tell you something many people do not know. There are people in this country, the president does not know them, Dangote does not know them, they can transfer the ownership of that refinery to somebody else. And they are not businessmen. And people like him, they should know, all right, that don't go around offending people because this person may be pastoring his church of 15 members opposite your house. It may be a mother of children in an orphanage somewhere. You annoy her and she will enter the closet and say, God, why is this guy making this amount of mouth? Please, can you take that and give to this other individual? Because she has a name that nobody knows apart from the person that holds it. That's why I'm begging you here. Follow God fully. Disobey traditions. Don't let anybody help with compromise. If God has said something in your heart, don't shy away from following it. Let everybody be angry. That's their problem. But this God, you must follow fully. Let's bow our heads. Just say, Father, we thank you. Just say, Father, we thank you. You are good and worthy to be glorified.